Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now for three charts that have got some news around them or are moving or a bit interesting is the lady with the technicals, Nicola Duke. You all right, Nick?
Very good, thank you. So just before we came on, Justin was getting very excited because BT was moving higher on his hourly chart and about to break the 200 moving average on the hourly. Yeah. And I said, never mind the 200 moving average on the hourly, it's going to break the 200 moving average on the daily. Anyway, so here's a weekly chart of BT Group, and this is a really exciting level because this is going to be a double bottom, and it's going to be at the 50% retrace exactly from the 2009 lows to the 2015 highs. So a double bottom reversal here in BT be a very positive omen.
I've been micro watching this on an hourly chart level. And in fact, can you get the hourly chart up and just zoom in?
Look, there's the daily, there's the 20, there's the 20 EMA. Above that, that would be the first time, you know, since we had the horrid drop at the beginning of August.
Yeah. So if you get the hourly
up. So here's the hourly up. Yes, I will get right. I'll pop it up.
Sorry. Can you zoom in a bit more than that?
No. Oh, I'll do that. Look, there. Now you can see. Okay. There's your hourly. There's your 200 moving average. And yes, we're above it. Looks good.
What I like is that, it's that bit before there, 200 moving average. Well, I can't see the marker. Where's the 200 moving average on yours?
Oh, in fact, this is daily 20 EMA.
That's it.
We haven't been above for a month. So
That's what I like. So it's above that thing. If it stays above that, it's quite nice. And also, if it breaks above that previous, doesn't it? 288. I mean, a couple of sessions back, it attained 288, but it didn't get above there. So I didn't stay above there. So if it stays above that now and gets above that, it's quite nice, I think, and confirmation.
Well, first time since the big drop at gap and drop lower, yeah.
And I say that because that's part of our experiment. And me and the two mates on the weekend, we've invested our second rollover now. We're doing big stocks as an experiment. £1,000 to £100,000 in 50 trades or less. And we did Sky, then we did EasyJet, rolled down onto Sky, and we both attained more than 10% on each. And now the BT is our third one. And you get paid dividends as well, because we've had a dividend payment already, about 3% so far, the interim. So we've got 3%. And we just reinvest that. And so we're looking for, a longer-term target, about 336 or something like that. So hopefully it'll get up there when they announce figures. Because they had their worst year ever last year, BT. And I think now that's all up the way, and hopefully they're moving on.
Really? Because I will never go to BT again when our contract's up.
Yeah,
I know. But anyway.
Don't keep saying that.
I'm not going to talk about my move again.
Yeah, no, don't talk about that. Your move and your mood. Your mood movie was... okay.
A woman. I'm allowed to be moody.
Okay, all right. Here we go then. Let's do the podcast. The three charts for the podcast. And they are Harvest Minerals, Keras, and Powers Energy. Here we go. Okay, let's look at these charts. And first and foremost, Harvest Minerals. The reason why I want to look at this, it's not, they've got some news out, but they've been moving higher, and I think they're in an interesting place chart-wise. And I did tweet out, that I said in July they broke the 50-day moving average, in August they broke the 125 moving average, and now September maybe the 200-day moving average. And
exactly.
And in fact, they're on it pretty much, aren't they?
So, testing it right now. It's a bit annoying because we tested it on the 16th of August and failed, and we had that really, you know, gap and big move higher and failed. This time I think that we have a bit more strength, and also we've got quite a nice interesting inverse head and shoulders pattern made by that false move, and so we're building the neckline here. I think maybe the first time we touch it we probably won't get through it, but if we trade above 13.05, that looks good. 13.43 is the fib level, but I think the pattern is more powerful. So above 13.43, this is a big deal bottom, and we should continue to at least 17.5, but more likely 20.45.
Yeah. Well, I've got to say, do hold Harvest Minerals, and I think if they do what they say, the massive resource they've got there, they're in Brazil, and they do fertilizer, and they've got this new product they've got there. They're testing very well on crops, and if they do what they say they're going to do sales-wise, fundamentally, it's a 10-bagger, you know, if they do that, and it's looking very good. And I just think...
If this goes above 15.48, we are in line for another leg higher. I don't want to give too high targets, but 15.48 will be an interesting pivot. That's the 50% back of the decline. Because if this decline is just the first leg and a bigger decline, that's usually where we'll fail, around 15.48. But above it should be really bullish, and that will then become a pivot to keep going higher.
Okay, so next one is Keras Resources, AIM listed mineral resource company based out of Australia and other bits and pieces as well. But the news out today was they've entered a joint venture, or Calidus has, a joint venture with Novo Resources. So KRS on the chart. What do you reckon, Nick Oulard?
KRS is trying to make this, it's retesting the lows from 2015, and we're making this kind of rounded bottom wedge pattern here. You know, we had one day when we managed to get above the 200-day moving average, and that was on the 4th of September, and we just couldn't hold above it. We've fallen back below. It was a bit like, ha-ha. The moving averages are all bunched up, and when you see them like this, And you kind of, if you draw trend lines and connect them either side, you're looking for a breakout of the range. So above 0.5, really, and those previous highs is a proper breakout in Keras Resources. But for now, we're just trading sideways and making a bottom, carving out a bottom.
Nice. I love carving out a bottom.
Yeah. But that's your trigger, a close and hold above the 200-day moving average that keeps going higher, that finds support. It shouldn't, if it works, it doesn't go back below that 200 moving average again. So, and then, you know, the first resistance we're going to hit is 0.62, but above 0.62, we have definitely bottomed.
I'm just thinking there, when you say carving out a bottom, you imagine being a sculptor, right?
Yeah.
And you are carving out a bottom. Of a nude or something.
You keep chipping away.
Yeah, and you're chipping away at one butt cheek, one buttock, and you realise it's uneven the other one, so you chip away the other one, and slowly you keep chipping away at the both buttocks.
And essentially, and then you chip too much.
Yeah, and you've got, you've got no buttocks whatsoever. You think, oh, I've messed that up, haven't I? That's got to be quite hard, actually, to get really symmetrical buttocks, isn't it, on a marble or something like that, or even wood or whatever. Anyway, let's look at the last one is Powerhouse Energy. They are in the waste to energy sector, and they've got these distributed modular gasification units, and I do hold
it. I really do think this is important new technology that
I love it a lot. Yeah, which is basically turning
free
rubbish
money
into energy,
free energy. Yeah.
So they've done a memorandum of understanding, MOU, with Energy and Environment Holdings, which is an independent consulting firm in Qatar, in Doha, and it looks quite good here. If they get this off the ground, it could be a game changer, really. But as yet, it's an MOU, so let's see how it goes. But PHE, what do you reckon on the chat?
Again, you know, this is really long. I'm looking at a weekly chart here because I want to show you this really long-term bottoming we're at, you know, and I really think we've pulled back. We've had a decent rally. We've made a higher low. Now we need a higher high, which means above 1.77. We've pulled back to the weekly 20 moving average last week and found some support. So we've got a bullish hammer on our weekly to go higher. And here we are on the daily. We've pulled back to the 20 and the 50 moving average. We've had a bit of a spiky day today, but I am looking for it to continue higher. The RSI is turning up. Everything looks good to keep going higher. I like this one. Mm-hmm. So we're above the 200-day moving average. You know, so there is some resistance at 1.53 and then 1.77. And then first target should be 2.24. That's the 23.6 fib from the entire decline. But so the first time we hit that, we're probably going to bang off it. But then above that, I think this is going to go rocket.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, I think they're an important phase at the moment, going from sort of laboratory to towards commercialization. And like I said, it's a very cutting-edge technology. So it's never going to be smooth development. But the last test looked good. They produced 50% hydrogen. It's a massive market for hydrogen, so I think it could go well. Morning, Mark.
What's nice about this trade is you know, we've pulled back to the 50-day moving average and to travel higher. So your stop, you know, you're wrong. You're only wrong if it closes below that 50-day moving average, and that's at 1.06. So it's really quite low risk reward, this trade, for some nice upside.
Lovely. And on Facebook Live, morning, Mark. Hello, Alex. Hello, Anil. In fact, Anil says IPF. In fact, we'll look at that after the podcast is on Facebook
say,
Live.
Say goodbye and we'll do it. Yeah.
Goodbye, podcasters. Thanks for listening. And if you want to see this video, by all means, you can go to the blog at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog or go on Facebook, our Facebook page there. But thanks for that. And thank you very much, Nicola.
Thank you. So what should we look at? Have they asked for anything?
Yes, IPF, which is, what is that? IPF is International Personal Finance. The internet, I wrote a blog on this a while back, a long time back.
But, did you?
Yes. They're in this sort of similar sort of area to PFG, you know, Provident Financial, but in a smaller version and in Poland. And I didn't know what the heck. I haven't read about them for a long time, but that's the area they're in, personal finance kind of thing, you know. So IPF on the chart, what do you reckon?
I'm just going to quickly put some fibs on because, you know, it's in an uptrend. It's above all the daily moving averages and the weekly moving averages, but it's having a little bit of a stall. And if we look at the weekly, we can see why. Here's the horizontal support and resistance that we're banging our head against. Okay, so I would say that this is a good level to take some profit. So that's around 221. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the February 2016 lows. That horizontal resistance is where we've paused. And it's also 50% if you look at that big, sharp weekly drop candle. When you see a big candle like that called a Marabusu, very often the 50% of the open close of a big, long candle like this, I'm zooming in, 50% of the open close is a pivot level. So really, we've got to get above that to continue higher. So that's the weekly view. So there's that level on the daily. This is why we've stalled here. So we're going to come back and see if we can find some support at the 20 moving average. All the way up, you know, since we've bottomed down here in July, every pullback to that pink 20 moving average, I'm going to make it a bit thicker for you. Sorry, cancel that. Let's make it a bit thicker. So everyone can see it. Every pullback to this moving average has found some support and continued higher. So if we go back below it and it's currently around 206, then we can say that there'll probably be a deeper correction and potentially back to the 200-day. So I'd be a little bit careful. I do quite like this not to. For me, if I had bought somewhere near the lows, I would not expect to see it back below 194,700. So if I had bought down here, I would sit and wait for this to play out because it is still an uptrend. It's just bouncing off resistance.
Excelente. 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 That's just good, isn't it? Facebook Live. I love that.
Back below 194,700, though, I think is a bigger concern. We haven't really bottomed. So I'm going to just do a quick fib from here, this high to this low, because I'd be looking for around a 38.2 retrace for this last swing higher. And that's about the same level. So 196, potentially it comes back to. And the support before that is, so that's two support levels you've got, 206 and 196. 206 is where that daily 20 moving average is. And then 196. And below 196, I would, go and look for another one.
I still have an issue with Fibonacci's. You know, I like the previous, you know, price action, you know, support and resistance. I understand that completely.
If you knew how those 23.6 fibs work, like,
no, I know.
I probably wouldn't even mention them in public because I don't want everyone to know.
I know it's like, but to me, it's a dark art, it's a witchcraft, and a bit of me is suspicious of it. But often when you put these Fibonacci's on, they do happen to fall on previous support and resistance.
Okay, if you look at nothing else, let's take them away. That's the moving average. Numerous studies have shown that the most profitable ways of trading are moving averages, trend following strategies using moving averages.
But this is not moving average, is it? The Fibonacci is not moving average.
And that's the 20-day moving average, where that level I gave you at 206.
I'm good with moving averages. I believe that it's just Fibonacci.
That's where they are.
Fibonacci is a bit, and
they line up exactly where those two moving averages are.
Yeah, but sometimes they don't. I prefer price action and moving averages to Fibonacci's. Do you know what I'm saying? Fibonacci's
are just
an extra confirmation, yeah, I suppose, yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is, I couldn't work off Fibonacci's alone. I'd have to look at the price action, the moving averages.
You know. Invite me on your show and then just knock me about.
No, what I'm saying is, I couldn't... Could would you just go on Fibonacci's alone, or would you look at other things as well?
Yeah,
you just go on Fibonacci's, that's it.
Okay, so there's a lot of people trade these stocks, you know, not AIM stocks, but in the big stocks, they're algorithmic trading, but not that super fast bad algos that you hear about, but they're just system trading, and they are using moving average. They have to program them with something. They can't be random, so it's mathematics, and they do use moving averages, and they do use percentage corrections.
Listen, I'm with you. I'm with you on moving averages and price and all that. But Fibonacci is just to me, and the fact that algos do it, yes, I accept that. But I do think that the moving averages is a stronger thing. People look at the 200 moving averages.
Definitely.
I'm with you on moving averages.
Program trades are programmed based on them. So
yeah, no, I believe in moving averages completely. Moving averages. I mean, I think people see that 200 in moving average line and
are
see
there
that.
Any more requests?
Oh, okay. Very nice. No, I'm not disagreeing with you on moving averages. I'm completely. It's a dark witch.
Any way you do it, trend following is the best way.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm saying the dark art, the witchcraft that is Fibonacci, it dates back.
Okay, I was just trying to make it levels a bit more accurate.
No, but I know.
You're right. Moving average and price action will work as well.
Oh, hang on. I feel like I've offended you by your Fibonacci there.
I'm not at all offended. I'm going to take my toys and go.
You know I love your Fibonacci's, Nick. You know. Right. Some of the best looking Fibonacci's in the business. Let me tell you.
See you tomorrow, everybody.
Thanks, Nick.
Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.